Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a special Screen Picks podcast. I'm your host, Phil Wallace, in our Screen Picks studios in Los Angeles. We are going to recap the 96th annual Academy Awards, the show that was. We are going to talk about all the highs and lows of this year's Oscars. Joining me, as always, we've got in Burbank, California, Andrew Payne. Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Great. We've also got in Spokane, Washington, we've got Joel Amos. Joel, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. It's nice not to be utterly exhausted at the end of the show like this.
And finally, joining me in the great state of New Jersey, the Garden State, we've got Adam Spunberg. Adam, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, thanks. Very happy to be here.
Great. And unfortunately, Kit Bowen, unable to join us tonight, but I'm sure she will be on our next Oscar podcast a mere 200 days from now, or whatever it is we do. So let's get right to it. Big winners tonight, Oppenheimer and Poor Things. I think really kind of the two big winners was really Oppenheimer, the biggest winner, and probably Poor Things, kind of the number two winner. But Andrew, I'll start with you. What did you think of the show tonight?
So I'm just wondering, like with the Oscars, like how do we get it back? Because it just doesn't feel like there's much of a spectacle to it anymore, other than the Ryan Gosling performance, which was great. That was pretty much it in terms of like anything that was like a show. I think about the Grammys this year, which was one of the best Grammys that I can remember. And
Amen.
I know it's a different type of award show, but it was all performances, and even the Emmys with like the reunions that they did and the history of the TV, like it just felt like more of a show. And here it was like Jimmy Kimmel again, thought was good. Good monologue at the beginning, good jokes. There was one montage, which was really bizarre, that it was about stunt performers. And I thought they were going to say, and we're going to start honoring stunt performers with a new category. And then that was just it. They were like, goodbye. And that was kind of it in terms of just like the show itself, other than presenter bits. And I know that it was controversial, but I just feel like they need to stop handing out so many awards on the main show. Because they even try to blend some presenters together so they can, like, get out, like, makeup and production design all at once. But it just continues to feel like award, 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 and that's the entire show. Like, it's like the NFL draft. It's like they're just reading out things that are coming. And I just feel like the spectacle is missing. Like, it just doesn't feel like the Oscars that I remember from like the 90s, where it just felt like the biggest show of the year.
Yeah, you know, for the longest time, the show felt like such a celebration of cinema. And, you know, it's gotten harder over the years, I would say. You know, Billy Crystal always used to sort of put himself in the movies, remember? And that was back when everyone had kind of seen the movies. Fewer people have seen the movies, but you did have kind of the two highest grossing movies of the year were nominated for a lot of awards, obviously Barbie and Oppenheimer. And you had a little bit of a nod to the Barbenheimer movement. You had Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling do a little riff, but you know, you're still trotting out like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito as a nod to the movie Twins. So there's still a lot of nostalgia there. But it's not really it didn't feel like a celebration of cinema. And I'm with you, Andrew. I just kind of wish they took like 10 or 12 awards and just threw them on like they do with the Creative Artist Emmy Awards they did it the day before, or the week before, or something, and just kind of kept it tight around the big awards and maybe even added some interesting awards like a Rookie of the Year or Newcomer of the Year. I know we don't want to turn into TV movie awards, but there are some ways to bring in some new interesting names and bring some people into watching the show that haven't watched it in the past.
Well, they are going to bring in casting directors. So that's
yeah. What is that going to do? I don't know. and they even cut down. I mean, it actually, the show almost went too fast. It was Jimmy Kimmel was like, "Hey, I got some time, so I'm going to read a Donald Trump, you know, Truth Social post making fun of me in the middle of the show." And that's not going to make us look partisan, but, you know, whatever. It was fine. But, Joel, what did you think of the show tonight?
You know, I've been struggling to put it into words, and I think you guys have really, like, just laid the landscape for me. I think it was not a show to celebrate cinema, which is what, like you said, we've all come to love and why we love to watch it every year. This show, although I did enjoy, you know, many parts of it, this show felt like something to get through. Like it was just like we were saying, oh, it's 3.5-4 hours, and you know, people who love movies are the only people tuning into this. They should just let it roll. But this went like so far the other direction. I mean, I couldn't believe when I looked and it said 10:30 and we were done. Like, I at least expected this to go to 11.
But it did start 1 hour earlier, though, keep in mind.
Right. But, like, you know, I can see also being concerned with ratings with people on the East Coast and the hour, and I understand that. But, you know, I think there was room for other things. And it's so funny because I was reading articles about it getting ready for today and tonight. And one of the things that seemed to be universal through a lot of preview articles that I read is that, thank gosh, we got rid of the former winners giving the awards. And they talked about how much time it took. And you're so lost in these people and the nostalgia of it. Oh, that's right. They won. And that's so cool. And like, it is just glowing. Like, I mean, these presenters are making the nominees cry before they even get up there. And you know, yes, it's nice, but like, you know, a 45-second clip times 5, and then you announce the winner, you know, that can also translate as it transcends down the show to like a tribute to, you know, whatever you want. You could have 2 tributes. The montages were lacking, and I think they were just so conscious of the time that they kind of cut themselves off at the feet.
Yeah, even the songs, like Billie Eilish was singing that song, and I was like, what? So they only give people 30 seconds to sing these songs?
Well, yeah, and actually, real quick, sorry, the songs always seemed to be like, it made you feel like you were heading into a commercial, and then it would go into a song and then a commercial. And I'm wondering, like, literally, how many viewers didn't see some of these songs because they had that walkway that people were walking down. It just seemed like a weird production choice.
Yeah. Well, Adam, you're our East Coast correspondent. What did you think of the show?
So I think my take is a little less harsh than the rest of you, but obviously we're all entitled to our opinion. We were texting about it among the group. I think I'm one of those people who actually really does like when they bring the previous actors out to present the awards, because for me, I like seeing previous winners and having sort of the spotlight put back on them. And, you know, that's probably a personal preference. And I could see why other people might not agree. I personally like that. I thought the show was pretty tame. Maybe that's a good way to put it. It's a bit safe. I feel like there's almost like there was so much controversy about the Oscars being underrepresented or, you know, maybe not politically correct enough, that we've gone to such a degree just making sure there's no controversy that maybe the show just lacks a little bit of that oomph that you're talking about. And it's just kind of a fairly sanitized award show. And Jimmy Kimmel, I thought, was, well, he did like a decent job from a perspective of his jokes were all right. He it was a pretty positive vibe that he was kind of contributing to throughout the night. I wouldn't say there were 1 or 2 jokes that really stand out that were especially memorable to me. It just, you know, it was fine, you know, and I think maybe that's what you're getting at, Andrew and Joel, that maybe fine is a low bar that I I felt was good, because maybe the Oscars haven't been what they were for so long that this seems decent enough for me, but maybe my ambitions should be higher for the show.
No.
And that
so
might be the problem.
Was Donald Trump right?
No, I think that this is kind of an overview perspective. And like I said, that's why I wanted to definitely make sure I said it, is that there were many moments that I enjoyed. And I don't mean to be very, very harsh, but I think when I'm looking at the totality of it, and like I even wrote a note, I was like, the set seems kind of boring. Although the orchestra above everything was like, ooh, that's kind of cool. I think, you know, there might have been something that was like, eh. But then, like, that orchestra, I was like, oh, that's a new one. That's pretty good. Good on them.
Yeah. No, I thought, you know, Kimmel's done this 4 times. I thought the first time he hosted the show, he was pretty darn good. Second time, I think he was kind of bland. I think he did it again last year. I actually thought he was pretty good last year. And then this year, I thought he was kind of eh. So, I don't know, it's kind of hit and miss. He's certainly no Billy Crystal, but he's, you know, I'd argue he's better than a lot of other people who've done it. You know, dare I say he's probably better than, like, even Jon Stewart, who's done it. You know, kind of up and down. Certainly better than, like,
David Letterman
had that forgettable year. There have been some bad hosts. I mean, Ellen DeGeneres didn't do a great job. Neil Patrick Harris didn't do a great job. There are a lot of people who have not done well with this show.
James Franco.
Anne Hathaway. You know, Whoopi Goldberg did okay, I think. Steve Martin did a decent job.
It's strange. Like, it's kind of sad that, or not sad, but like someone like a Kevin Hart would have been, I think, a good choice. You know, in the future, we'll see what they do. I would bet that we don't have Jimmy next year.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought Amy Schumer did it that one year with Wanda Sykes and was it Regina? Who was it?
Regina King.
What was it?
Yeah.
Regina Hall. Thank you. It was good.
Yeah.
But I just thought, like, Amy Schumer would probably do it well just by herself.
They've done other shows, but Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, I think, would be terrific. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the winners. I think at least everyone's pool kind of came down to best actress. Emma Stone with the big win. Andrew, I know you kind of went back and forth. I just thought at the end of the day, it was kind of setting up for her, for Emma Stone, especially Poor Things kind of took home a lot of awards tonight, kind of a lot of below-the-line awards, production design over Barbie, costume design over Barbie. Makeup and hairstyling was kind of a surprise, taking that over Maestro. So 4 Oscars, I think, for Poor Things, and then it wins Best Actress. Killers of the Flower Moon completely shut out.
Twice in a row now, Scorsese.
Twice in a row completely shut out?
Yeah.
Going in with
like, I think, double digits, I think 10, 9, 10, something like that, both films.
Well, maybe he should make films under 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Just a thought.
You think he would have won an Oscar if it was an hour shorter, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think some of the strategic decisions in that film also could have helped, but that's my opinion.
But,
true.
But we talked about this before. As good as Lily Gladstone was in that movie, I can't help but think if she had gone up as supporting actress, I feel like she would have won for supporting actress. And just the Emma Stone performance, people just kept talking about that performance as you know, a transcendent type performance, and it was going to be hard to deny her. And so many of the European international people were going to vote for her. And I know there was some theories that Sandra Huller might take some international votes away from her, but it I guess that just didn't come to pass at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, there was a lot of momentum for Poor Things. You know, maybe if Oppenheimer hadn't even come out this year, you know, maybe Poor Things, I think we'll probably look back at the ballots and maybe that was the movie that probably came in second in the voting, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. Like, Lily Gladstone was kind of, like, anointed, like, she's going to win an Oscar when Killers of the Flower Moon first screened at festivals. And I think at the time, a lot of people thought it would be for supporting actress. And then when she decided to go lead, everyone still thought she was going to win. But I think that there are times where there is a performance, like Emma Stone and Poor Things, where then everyone gets to see that and they're like, and people are just, oh my God, this is like unbelievable. Like, this is unbelievable work. Kind of like Anthony Hopkins in The Father a couple years ago, where, you know, Chadwick, I mean, they even changed the order of the presentation of the Oscars that year because they thought Chadwick Boseman was going to win and that was going to be kind of the capper to the night. And then Anthony Hopkins won. So I agree with that. I think that if Lily Gladstone had been supporting actress, because I mean, Divine Joy Randolph was great in The Holdovers, but I don't think that that performance was one where people would have been like, oh, well, I'm voting for her instead of Lily Gladstone. Like, Lily Gladstone would have 100% just like, you know, stampeded to a win without much competition and supporting actress. So
yeah.
I think that, I mean, it might have just been a tactical error by like her team to put her in lead. I think that, I mean, I could listen to both arguments on whether or not she was truly a lead or truly a supporting in that movie, but that's never really seemed to matter when it comes to categories. It's more like you kind of have to pick like your lane of what you think you can most win. But yeah, I think that that's probably what led to it. And I ultimately ended up picking her because I thought maybe Sandra Hüller is encroaching on some of Emma Stone's kind of international voters. And like kind of the American contingent is all going to go for Lily Gladstone. So I thought she was going to benefit from that vote split. But I think it's kind of what everyone was saying when everyone first started Poor Things was just how unbelievable of a performance Emma Stone gave in that movie. And it was just hard for people not to vote for it.
You know, and
yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking about that. And then like something immediately shot through my head as soon as they said Emma Stone. And it was like, I love that you used the word anointed. And it really seemed like Lily was anointed. And this is one of those moments where I was like, well, of course she's going to win. Everybody says she's going to win. But at the second Emma won, I kept thinking that when Poor Things came out, there was a pretty universal phrase in a lot of reviews. And it was essentially, just give Emma the Oscar. Just give it to her. And when people start saying that, like right after a film comes out, it's usually a given. I mean, it's not said all that often. Like when J.K. Simmons exploded, The Drummer movie. Like the second he was off the screen, you know, you were just like,
Whiplash.
Oh, this guy's gonna win.
Yeah, Whiplash.
Sorry, I just drew a blank. But like, you know, I was like, oh, that's right. Like there was all this talk the second the Poor Things came out. That it was absolutely hers. Like, not even hers to lose. It was just hers.
Yeah, it was just...
And
it was
I
really
didn't listen
politics.
To it.
You know, it was sort of Emma Stone had already won one before. And you had this great story, potentially, with Lily Gladstone being the potentially the first Native American winner. And you know, to be fair, I thought she was great in that movie. It's just that... you know, it was just... She was sick in bed half the film, and she wasn't maybe quite a lead, I think, is the other issue. But I don't know. Adam, do you have any thoughts about the Best Actress race?
Yeah, I mean, I really like both performances, so it's hard for me to, you know, feel upset about this. I do think Joel is onto something here, though, because and the timing may also be a factor, because when Killers of the Flower Moon came out in October, I think there was a lot more buzz, not just about her, but about the whole film, you know, that this was a real Best Picture potential favorite. And we knew there were some competitive, you know, alternatives coming, but there was a lot of buzz around this. And I feel like something fizzled. And maybe it is, like we said, the length of the film, the fact that deep down, not that many people liked it as much as they wanted to. or felt that it lived up to maybe the extraordinary reputation or anticipation that there was. And I just feel like even though she was anointed, as you say, and seemed like this lock, I think a lot of people didn't really want to give it to that film. And there were probably just enough forces coming through at the end with Poor Things to deliver this upset. I'd be very curious to see just how close it really was in the vote, if anyone could calculate that. But I don't know. I maybe it was really close, or maybe it wasn't as close as we think. But I think also, you know, Emma Stone's really likable. You can see that she has a very big following.
After that speech, she's even more endearing.
Yeah, like even when she went up there, did you see how all five actresses that were there were like all excited for her? I think she just has kind of an it factor that you can't disregard.
And the way she handled she had a little problem with her dress. And she just kept telling people, just don't look at my back, don't look at my back. I mean, it's just, there's a natural.
Like very relatable, right? Down to earth.
Exactly,
right?
exactly.
So I thought the best speech tonight was Robert Downey Jr. thanking his lawyer, there are a couple of surprises below the line. I don't think too many other surprises on the top awards, but I think kind of the screenplays. I think most people kind of thought it would be Oppenheimer, but American Fiction won for adapted screenplay. I think most people kind of thought it'd be The Holdovers, but it went to Anatomy of a Fall. I think Poor Things was a little bit of a surprise for costume and makeup, but it won there. I think Zone of Interest, a lot of people thought it deserved sound, but I don't think most people thought it would win sound. It did. Definitely an upset in documentary short subject with The Last Repair Shop. Definitely a little bit of an upset in animated short with John and Yoko movie winning. So there were a couple of upsets here and there. This year, and then The Boy and the Heron, because I think the odds on favorite was still Spider-Man, but you guys were right. It was The Boy and the Heron won that one. So I wound up coming 42nd place in my own pool, even though I got Emma Stone right. Actually, Andrew, you and I tied. Joel, he came in 44th. So there you go. A lot of below line upsets, but it was still kind of obvious in the big awards. Other than kind of best actress, I think we all kind of rallied around Cillian Murphy at the end, and it was Oppenheimer, Nolan, Downey, Randolph, for some of those big ones. So, any other thoughts about these awards?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just was thinking about it. Like again, it was another hindsight moment. And it came with like the images they showed with Poor Things that, I really thought in those categories it would be Barbie. I mean, it just popped, the sets just popped, the production design, the makeup, the hair, or not makeup, hair, like the costumes. But then like they showed, and I've seen Poor Things, but like they showed the, some stills from Poor Things. And I'm like, Barbie doesn't have a chance. Like, it just never occurred to me that, I was blinded by the Barbie, I guess.
Blinded by the Barbie. All right. Yeah. Any other comments there about some of these below line? I mean, I was happy to see Cora Jefferson win an Oscar. That was a nice little surprise. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. Most people in our pool actually had American Fiction, ironically, winning. But
I thought the Ukrainian.
Yes.
Acceptance speech was quite memorable, especially because it's one thing when you have, Jared Leto or someone, some American person trying to be this, revolutionary supporter, let's say, which may be very noble, but comes off a bit like this is typical Hollywood, using this moment for a cause. In this case, it seemed very authentic from someone who's personally affected in representing the nation itself. I found that to be really meaningful, actually.
That blew me away. When he said, I mean, there was a lot he said that just blew me away, but when he said he would trade this, the Oscar, for Russia to never have invaded his country. I was just like, whoa. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you could ever have a moment in an Oscar like that. I mean, that's about as real as you can get. And you could hear a pin drop in that place.
And one other little nitpick. Adam, I agreed with you, actually. My wife said it as it was going on in the In Memoriam. You literally couldn't see the people on the In Memoriam in the beginning.
I really didn't like that. I again, this might be where I get too nostalgic for that. It's one of the moments I actually look forward to every year. I think some people maybe fast forward. I don't know. It really depends on who you are. But to me, it should really be much more about one chance to remember the career or reflect on the life that the people had, and not about a performance or effects that you have around that. And with the screen shifting around, the fact that it even led to people standing up and cheering, I felt like something was sort of lost in what the purpose of that was there.
I also am always, with the In Memoriam, I'm always fascinated by who they picked to close it, like the last person that they show. And they chose Tina Turner this year, which she's been in three movies. Like, she shouldn't even really almost be in an Oscars In Memoriam thing. And like, they were showing, they showed William Friedkin, like they just kind of glazed over him before they showed a clip of Tina Turner and Mad Max. And I just felt like that was way off. I mean, this is the guy that directed The Exorcist, and he barely even gets, any screen time. And then they showed like that list of names at the end, but they zoomed out when they showed the list of names and you couldn't even read them. How hard is it to do an In Memoriam segment? Like you play a song and you show a slideshow of people, and they botched it terribly. Like, that was very strange that they couldn't figure that out.
That was a real quick missed opportunity too, because I think rarely has there been more of a perfect song.
All right, well, let's move. Andrew, you've been waiting for this moment. We always do. Look ahead a year. So your pick, you've got a big pick. I've got a big pick too. But you've got your big pick for the 2025 Oscars. We're going to look ahead.
Yes.
What's your pick?
So every year I pick my guarantee for next year. This year it was that Carey Mulligan was going to win for Maestro. Not bad. She got nominated.
Pretty good.
I've only gotten it right once. I picked Gary Oldman to win Best Actor for The Darkest Hour a year in advance. This year, I'm feeling very good about this one. I'm feeling really good about this one.
Okay.
There is a movie financed by Apple. It's called Blitz. It is about the Blitz in London during World War II. It is directed by Steve McQueen, one of our great filmmakers. He has never won an Oscar. 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture, but he did not win Best Director for that. Alfonso Cuarón won that year. My 1 year in advance pick is that Steve McQueen is going to win Best Director for Blitz next year.
Wow. Okay.
You heard it here.
Steve
first.
McQueen for Blitz. You are all right. I have two picks. My first pick is that Dune will be nominated for Best Picture.
We'll
win all the technical awards, but won't really win much else. My second pick, this is my bold pick. Samuel L. Jackson will win his first Oscar for The Piano Lesson. August Wilson play-turned movie. He will win Best Supporting Actor for The Piano Lesson. Samuel L. Jackson. That is my prediction.
That was my second. I almost went with that one, so I'm glad I didn't, so I could be different. But yeah, he was nominated for a Tony for that performance. It's like the same cast from the Broadway revival a couple years ago. And he was nominated for a Tony. I like that one too. I almost went with that one. So I think those
kind
are
of back to back kind of Marvel actors for Best Supporting Actor, people who like should have been making non-superhero movies maybe the last 15 years, but that's all that, you know, people pay money to see these days. So they're making superhero movies. So I don't know, Joel, Adam, any picks for next year, or you haven't thought that far ahead?
Yeah, this year I actually haven't thought that far ahead. I just, you know, I'm marveled, and I'm sure this is more clickbait than anything, at the discussion that's out there that, you know, that Oppenheimer's really lucky that Dune didn't come out last year. I don't agree
with that at all. I mean,
right?
Dune 2 was very good. I enjoyed it a lot. That wasn't winning Best Picture. No way. I don't even think Denis Villeneuve would have been nominated for Best Director. It probably would have bumped Past Lives out of getting a nomination for Best Picture, and maybe would have beat Oppenheimer in a couple technical categories, but no way. Oppenheimer, nothing was beating Oppenheimer. I think Oppenheimer is one of the most, like, juggernaut, slam dunk Best Picture winners, like, since Titanic. Like, it's just tailor-made for the Oscars. Like, nothing was going to beat it.
Yeah, I mean, this was always going to be, I mean, I would say, to be honest, like, I don't think Oppenheimer is the best Christopher Nolan movie ever. Maybe his third or fourth best. I still like Inception. I still like Batman Begins. I mean, I still love Memento, frankly.
Memento is so good.
This was just kind of the night for Christopher Nolan. It was kind of tailor-made for him. But, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Dune was unseating it. Maybe it would have won a technical award. But even then, like, what technical award? Would it have won visual effects over Godzilla Minus One? Yeah, probably. Okay, that was a knocking off Oppenheimer,
yeah.
I suppose. All right. Adam, any other thoughts on next year? And then we'll quickly talk about Razzies.
I think, and it's interesting because he has two movies, or at least that he's affiliated with, coming out with next year, Luca Guadagnino. Even though I think Zendaya is just all the rage, I'll have to see if this Challengers is really that great, but I think Queer is something that could win a lot of awards, especially with Daniel Craig playing really an unexpected role for him.
Mm.
That's one I would look out for.
All right. Yes, he could get a nomination for sure. All right, and real quick, the Razzies, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, the big winner at the Razzies.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of you guys see that movie?
No,
I did not.
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey won Worst Picture and Worst Director. I got to tell you, I really thought Chris Evans and Ana de Armas were going to win Worst Actor and Worst Actress for Ghosted. That was not the case. Instead, it went to John Voight for Mercy, that movie that we didn't even know got released, that Mel Gibson movie. It went to John Voight, who, you know, I've talked to people. They see him, like, walking around the Glenn Center sometimes up on Beverly Glen. He's just kind of, like, barely hobbling around there. So he wins the Worst Actor award, and then Megan Fox takes home a Razzie. I feel like she's probably won one before.
She has.
She wins for Johnny and Clyde. I don't even know what that was. Is that like a take on Bonnie and Clyde?
I believe Machine Gun Kelly directed it, to be honest.
Directed by Tom DiNucci?
Or not directed. Yeah, I think he was in it.
Okay. Well, she won Worst Actress. It got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, that movie.
Oh, my gosh.
So she wins Worst Actress. Worst Supporting Actor went to Sylvester Stallone, a longtime winner for Worst Actor. So he wins for Expendables 4. And then Megan Fox actually pulled off the double. She wins Worst Supporting Actress for Expendables 4. So she wins Worst Actress and Worst Actress. And then Worst Screen Combo went to Pooh and Piglet for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey won Worst Screenplay, Worst Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel. But then, get this, the Razzie Redeemer Award goes to Fran Drescher, a 1998 nominee for her brilliant shepherding of SAG-AFTRA during the writer's strike. She was nominated in 1998 for the Razzie for The Beautician and the Beast, and comes back.
The Beautician and the Beast.
26 years later, and wins the Razzie Redeemer Award. So how about that?
That 98 nomination wasn't even fair. Like,
no.
Yes,
did you
she
see
was
that
absurd
movie?
In that movie, but I did. That was what she played exactly the character she was supposed to play in that movie.
Was it Pierce Brosnan?
That's what made it
that's
funny,
fair.
Was that it was Fran Drescher.
Timothy Dalton.
That's it. Wrong Bond.
Yeah. He was the Beast.
Yes.
He was the musician.
I can picture him in his regalia now.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing that movie was terrible. Maybe it was terrible. I don't know.
It was okay. Imagine
she played her
Fran Drescher being Fran Drescher in a
she
nondescript
herself.
Eastern European regime.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Some make-believe Middle Eastern European country.
Okay. All right. Well,
but congrats to her on the redemption, though.
Not for any acting, but I guess she did a good job. You know, I mean, a lot of people are out of work for a long time, and a lot of people are really struggling, but I guess she got a good settlement at the end of the day. So we'll give it to her. We'll give it to her. So, all right. Well, any other final comments?
I just looked up that Roger Ebert gave Beautician and the Beast 2 stars, but praised Fran Drescher's performance.
There you go.
Maybe she did not. She did not deserve the Razzie nomination.
I agree with Roger Ebert there.
Was she just like a version of the nanny? I mean, as a beautician?
Basically.
What does
she
have to do? Like, make the beef like not look ugly or something? I don't know.
Something. One thing we didn't mention, I don't know if we have time, but like, was it me did Pacino flub it up at the end?
Oh, wow. Yeah, we did not talk about Pacino. First of all, he looked like he had just been woken up to come out on stage.
It was terrible.
I don't know if he was supposed to read the nominees again, and then he just said, my eyes say, see Oppenheimer. He didn't even say, like, if the Oscar goes to Oppenheimer. That's such a big moment every year to announce the Best Picture winner. Can you just say it right? That was terrible.
Apparently, he was actually supposed to announce, I'm reading, he was supposed to announce the nominees. He did not actually say the nominees. He just went right to the, went right.
Do you think that they're just like, it's Al Pacino, he's such a legend, we're not even going to vet this, just go up there and go, and there was no preparation or anything? Because that's what it felt like to me.
Do you know Al Pacino is 83?
Yeah, and I feel like such an ageist. Oh, my God. But, like, this is – I hate to say it, but this is the second time in a row that they've had somebody over a certain age read the biggest thing of the night. And I remember going to the Academy Museum, and there was a movie playing where it's just the person saying the Oscar for Best Picture goes to, and they just play in that person over and over. Well, now we've had two in
who was
just
it
a handful
year?
Of years.
I don't even remember.
Or no, but the Faye Dunaway mess up, the La La Land.
Well, the
but,
Faye Dunaway, so, Warren Beatty, yeah. Warren Beatty's
86. So that's like twice now in like a handful of years, but like you can't replay that moment. I mean, it's going to get replayed, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Faye Dunaway is actually younger than Al Pacino. How about that?
See, I think it would have been better if they had Spielberg do Best Picture.
That's who I thought was going to do it.
He's done it before. I feel like he's done it a couple times. I feel like Harrison Ford has done it a few times too. But anyway. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it. We'll come back. Next year, we'll see if Andrew's picks are right, if Samuel Jackson wins, if we'll see what happens. If Dune wins next year, who knows? But all right. Well, for Adam Sponberg, Joel Amos, Andrew Payne, this is Bill Wallace signing off. Have a good night, everyone. Thanks so much. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.